The reading is Matthew 28, and it can be found on page 1000. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Amen.
I'm sure, like me, you live very busy lives. You've got all sorts of things. Do you have a kind of a calendar up in the kitchen, you know, that you kind of lets you know where you've got to be and what appointments you've got to... We seem to live very hectic lives, rushing backwards and forwards. The church is like that as well. Every time that you come in and you look at that board, you know, that screen, it tells you all the things that are happening. And sometimes it feels like you don't know whether you're coming or going. Is that how it feels like? I'm not sure whether I'm coming or going. So let's ask that question. Are you coming or going? Are you coming or going this morning? And as a church, corporately, at PMC, are we coming or going? What are we doing? There's so much activity. Are we coming or are we going? If I asked you the question this morning about why you're here, why did you come? Why did you come to church this morning? What was that about? Maybe the answer, kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but maybe you'd say, "I've come to worship. I've come to worship." But I'd want to press you a little bit further than that. I'd want to then ask, well, you can worship anywhere. You could have gone for a walk this morning and gone up onto the fells and looked at the magnificent view, and you could have lifted your heart in praise and adoration in wonder at the God who created the world. You didn't need to come here to worship. You could have done that on your own, couldn't you? We could worship anywhere. At any time, any place. I'm turning into a Campari advert. Any time, any place, you can worship. You can worship in the car. You put on a CD or your iPod or whatever it is, your mobile phone, and there's a worship song comes on, and you worship there in the car. The temptation is never to take your hands off the wheel and raise them in worship. But you can. You can worship there. You can worship in the kitchen. You can worship in and through your workplace, wherever that may be. You can be a person of worship wherever you are. So I come back to the question, why are you here this morning? What have you come for? Now, please get me right. I think that it is important that we come to worship, that we come together. Paul in 1 Corinthians says, come together in Jesus' name, come together. When you come together, he says that several times in that passage, particularly in chapter 11. When you come together, there's something about gathering together corporately as Christ's body. In Hebrews it says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some have done. So there's something important about gathering together. Why? Why is that important that we do that? I think that's important because it's a place for us to encourage one another, to build one another up, to motivate one another, to share together, to help one another, to support one another. Sometimes people might say to me, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. And you hear that. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. And that's true. I think if you were on a desert island and there was no church, you could continue in your faith and so on. It's not ideal. Some hermits, holy men of the past, you know, have done that. They've gone to a kind of remote island and lived this lifestyle of a hermit. Prayer and worship and whatever. So you could do it, but it's not ideal. It's better for you to be encouraged and built up in your faith as we meet together. And of course, if you're saying that you're going to be a lone or a solitary Christian, that's a very selfish attitude to take, because you're depriving other people of your encouragement and your help and your support. So we come together to worship. Notice what the angel says to the women. Come. Come and look. Come and see. Come to the tomb. Come to the empty tomb. And that's what we're here to do this morning. To come to the empty tomb. To offer our worship corporately as the body of Christ. So come together. Come together. And that's so important, because I believe that together we are stronger. And together we can do far more than we can do as individuals. I remember seeing a sermon illustration once where the preacher took a telephone directory. Do you remember the days of telephone directories? Oh, dear me. What ever happened to telephone directories? Sorry? GDPR. That's what happened to them. I get it now. Okay. Well, that would be a massive task to go through the telephone directory and say, do you want your records kept anyway? But the preacher took the telephone directory and said to one of the kids, could you tear this in half for me? And they couldn't, of course. They couldn't. And the preacher says, it's easy when you know how. And he just took the front page, tore that one in half. Took the second page, tore that one in half. Took the third page, tore that one in half. And he says, I could keep going like this, and keep going like this. Individually, we're weak. But bind us together, we're strong. I've seen it done several times. I've seen it done with spaghetti. Can snap one strand of spaghetti very easily, but together, the more strands of spaghetti you've got, the harder it is then to break. Together, we're stronger. And so we come together for mutual support and mutual encouragement. We come together because together we're stronger and able to do far more than we can do individually. Let's not give up the habit of meeting together, as some have done, says the book of Hebrews. But notice what the angel then says. The angel says, come, look on the tomb, see that it's empty, but then go. Go back to the disciples. Go to my brothers and tell them that he is risen. He is not here. He is risen. Come and then go. Can you see this movement? Come together, and then go. Because the truth is that this time tomorrow morning, you won't be here in church. You will be the church scattered, but you'll still be the church. But you will be in your workplaces. You'll be in your kitchen. You'll be wherever it happens to be that you need to be this time tomorrow morning. But you are still the church. You are sent out to be the church throughout the world. And so we come together, but then we go out then in mission. What are we about as a church? Are we simply asking people, why don't you come? Or are we a church that's going to go and go out to where people are? It's interesting that actually the promise is that you will meet Jesus as you go. Not here in the graveyard, but on the road. You'll meet him in Galilee. So go. And it's as they go that they then meet with Jesus. Sometimes we think that we come to church to meet with Jesus. And yet the promise is it's as we go that we meet with the risen Lord. So are you coming or going? It feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? Oh, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And as a church, are we coming or going? And of course the answer is yes. As a church, are we coming or going? Yes. It's important for us to gather together. It's important that we meet together for mutual encouragement and benefit. It's important that we come together because together we're stronger. But then we go. We go out in mission. We go out to serve. We go out to meet Jesus on the road. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your church throughout the world today. We pray particularly for the persecuted church, for those who it is really dangerous to gather together. And when they gather together, they take great risk. We remember our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka this morning, where it's so dangerous that they've been urged not to meet. And Lord, our heart goes out to them. We think of other people who are persecuted for their faith too. For the Jews in the overnight in America, gathering in their synagogue. For Muslims in New Zealand a month or so ago. For all who are persecuted for their faith, Lord, we lift up our voice in prayer. We think of the church in this country, in the Methodist Church. We pray for our leaders, for the president of conference, for those who guide and lead the Methodist Church. We pray for the church here in Penrith. We think of the different denominations meeting together this morning. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ scattered through this town. But we pray particularly for the church here today. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all that it does. For all the activities that it's engaged in. For all its mission and ministry. For all the people involved. Lord, we pray your blessing upon us. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless us. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to be your people, wherever we might be in this coming week. And in this coming week, we pray that we would meet with you, that we would know your presence, wherever we might be. Meet us in the going, we pray. We pray for those who are struggling in one way or another. Lift up to you those who are sick or ill, those who grieve or mourn. Lord, Lord, help us to support one another. Help us to encourage one another and build one another up. So pour out your blessing upon us now. Bless us so that we can be a blessing. Enrich us so that we can enrich other people's lives too. And we ask that blessing upon us now, Lord Jesus, in your risen name. Amen.